moment, Sheriff.
Okay. Yes?
Judge Morrison, on 90.
All right. Yes, sir.
You say, Daddy?
Yeah.
I just took this from the Tony Buford. He came up here. We've been talking about Captain different things. He said that Humphrey had asked Simon to second his nomination, and he thinks he got it. And I said, well, what do you think about it, Tony? He said, well, I'm going to cross the street and die and vote for Missouri. And he still cared, all right. I wish you'd get somebody that didn't have any weight. Yeah, evidently, he must feel kind of cocky bad, I guess.
I guess so. I heard it, and there's no basis for it.
Well, I didn't figure it was, but you know, he's always been that way, hasn't he?
Yes, although not so much so here. I'm just finishing this sentence. I'm going into the Security Council in about 1 minute. But I've just written me out a little statement, and I'm deciding whether I'm going to come up there and make it or make it at 3 o'clock press conference down here. 44 months ago, I was elected to be the Democratic Vice President because I felt I could best serve my country and my party. I left the majority leadership of the Senate to seek this post, believing I could help unify the country and thus better serve it. In the time given me, I did my best. On that fateful November day last year, I accepted the responsibilities of the presidency, asking God's guidance and the help of all of our people. For 9 months, I've carried on as effectively as I could. Our country faces grave dangers. These dangers must be faced and met by a united people under a leader they do not doubt. After 33 years in political life, most men acquire enemies as ships accumulate barnacles. The times require leadership about which there is no doubt, and a voice that men of all parties, sections, and color can follow. I've learned after trying very hard that I am not that voice or that leader. Therefore, I shall carry forward with your help until the new president is sworn in next January, and then return to my home as I wanted to since the day I took this job. Now, that'll allow them to select two of them, and they're there, and they're not going to be there anymore, and I think it's better to do that than to do it a month or two or 3 months from now. And I just don't believe I have the physical and mental stability to endure the Negroes on one hand and the Vietnamese on the other hand and the Cypriots on the other hand and the big bomber boys and the big missile boys and the Congress and the Republicans and the Democrats and the Goldwaters. And I rather think that no man's going to be in political life as long as I've been. I'm like Dan Crider and your daddy and my daddy. You acquire enough enemies, and this country ought to have a man that can get some Republicans and Democrats to pull together, get the Negroes and Whites to pull together. Now, I'm not that man. I don't know whether they can get him or not. I won't give him a chance to, and I think that your kids and mine are entitled to have somebody do it. But I'm pretty well, you can see from what's happening in Mississippi and Alabama, that the Southerners don't want me, and the Negroes don't want me, and I don't want it. So I don't know what the hell we're fighting or seeking for what purpose, who we're going to serve.
I know your statement is on a hell of a lot higher level than 98% of the people think. So they'll end up nominating this little bastard, Bobby Kennedy. And he's lightweight. Goldwater's lightweight. And where do we go?
I don't know. They've done it 200 years, though. And we've come through pretty well. And they have this machinery, and it's not going to be assembled. I'd hate like hell to try to reach them next September. they're there. And I don't think you got much time. I think that clock's ticking. But
we
see. Much blood.
Okay.